Good morning. Good morning. We are rising with the saints today. Welcome to the Friday morning show with Katie and Father Adam. If you couldn't guess already, I'm not Katie. So good morning, everybody listening. My name is Jenna Zins. I work for the Office of Development and Planning in for the Diocese of Columbus. And it is my great joy to be co-hosting this morning with you, Father Adam. Good morning.
Good morning, Jenna. Thanks for joining us.
I heard a K come out of your mouth. Yeah. That was a close call.
It's going to take me a while. Jenna, thank you for joining us and for being here for Katie.
Yeah.
Katie is, I think, out in the jungle somewhere, she said.
Yes. She took a machete. She's chopping down trees.
Yes, yeah. Trailblazing. She took inspiration from John Bradford and Wilderness Outreach, and she's gone to Costa Rica to...
Wow. Wait, are you being serious?
No,
oh.
I'm not.
Okay, wow. What a great idea.
I was like, I really thought I had a handle. I thought she was on pilgrimage in the Holy Land or something.
Well, let's start with a prayer, shall we?
That sounds great.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day. We ask, O Lord, that you protect us from all evil. Give us the graces that we need to be a witness of your love and of your mercy in this world. Help us this day to be faithful to the graces of our baptism and to the call of our baptism. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So, Jenna, what's new with you?
What's new? Gosh, I've been working at the diocese for just about 3 months now, which is a great joy.
I think when we had you on, you had just started.
Yeah, it was my 1 month anniversary. And for those of you who might follow St. Gabriel Radio on Facebook, they were able to post pictures of the great celebration my coworkers gave me once I returned. So, coworkers, if you're listening.
More
today
cake.
Actually marks 3 months. Yeah, more donuts, please. Some balloons, if you could.
Yeah.
And we'll post more pictures on St. Gabriel Radio. On Facebook, actually.
Yeah.
We'll put them up.
That was Giving Tuesday, wasn't it?
It was.
You were in for. How did that go?
It was great. There were several schools and parishes and organizations that just had a great campaign and were able to make some dreams come true in their arena. And that's kind of what we do in the Office of Development and Planning. We want parishes to thrive. So our role is to help pastors and lay leaders and basically anybody who's involved in parish life. We want dreams to come true.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. Yeah.
Now, I saw you a few days ago over at the cathedral.
Yeah, it was my great joy to run into you, Father. And I saw you measuring your dinner. I was so impressed with your healthy eating habits.
five times a day, 3.5 ounces of red meat. So
wow. Is that okay? Good for you.
It's my precise.
Yeah, it sounds pretty precise. I watched it happen, too. It is pretty precise. So it was... there's a really cool thing that we get to do as a staff down at the Cathedral Square, where everybody who works for the diocese works. We go to St. Joseph Cathedral. They have something called the Backdoor Ministry. Carol Stollenwerk does an amazing job of coordinating this ministry, and what we do is just feed the poor and the vulnerable and the hungry and the homeless each day. They get breakfast and they get dinner. And so I was there serving sandwiches for dinner, and I got to chat with you for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you're listening and you've not heard of Backdoor Ministries, beyond just giving meals, people will ask for lotion, for hand warmers, for socks, for gloves. And I can tell you, when I was there on Tuesday, they were all out of gloves. So if you are a listener with a generous heart and the capabilities of getting in touch with Carol down at St. Joseph Cathedral and dropping off maybe some gloves or hats, coats or sweatshirts.
Yeah.
I know she would love that.
And they're always looking, I think, for contributions
for
food, too, so by money. So they primarily what they do is bologna sandwiches.
Right,
and
right.
The St. Vincent de Paul or former St. Vincent de Paul Society there at the cathedral, they put the bologna sandwiches together. And then some days they have hamburgers and hot dogs.
Yes. You can smell them in the morning.
Yes. It's...
And I walk in, I'm like, wow, it's 8:30 in the morning. Someone's having, it's a good sustaining meal for people in need all day. Yeah. So that's what's new with me. What's going on with you, Father?
Well, you know, while over New Year, I was in Phoenix, Arizona.
Father.
Yeah, for the SLS conference, which is like a student leadership conference hosted by Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students.
Okay, so, and Bishop Brennan went with you.
Yes, well, we flew separately, but we were out there
together. He didn't want to travel with you.
Well, it's probably safe. So we were out there together. It was a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
Lots of talks by wonderful speakers.
Yeah.
Father Mike Schmitz was there. Cardinal Mueller, the former head of the CDF, did one of the masses.
This was a big
he gave
deal.
A very powerful, powerful, beautiful homily.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Sister Miriam from the
she'll be
Salts,
at the women's conference this year.
Yes, she was out there. Ed Shree, Dr. Ed Shree was out there. Dr. Scott Hahn did a few. I didn't make his talk, but he was out there. So, yeah. Archbishop Chaput was out there. So,
a lot of heavy hitters at this conference.
Yeah.
Do you know I caught? So, if you go on YouTube and you search like Focus Conference 2020, you can see a lot of the speakers. So, I saw Father Mike Schmitz and Emily Wilson's opening.
Yeah.
Keynotes, and they were phenomenal.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was great. And we, of course, we were out there, Bishop and I was out there. People may want, you know, we don't just go to random conferences, you know, there's always, you know, some deep. So Focus will be coming to the Diocese of Columbus.
Praise
in the fall.
Living God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so,
that's great.
Are you allowed to make this announcement? This seems like huge news.
Yeah, I mean, it's. Yeah, I have been. It's
great. Well,
it's in the Catholic Times this week. So
awesome.
If you read about it. But yeah, four missionaries will be coming to Ohio State in the fall. So.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much.
Working,
thank you, Jesus.
Working out of the Newman or with the Newman Center there. So
that is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, Focus does great work. They're very good at helping people understand what it means to get to know Jesus on a personal level and then help others get to know him.
And, you know, I think with the good work that the Paulists are doing there at the Newman Center and then with all the great work that SPO has been, St. Paul's Outreach has been doing, it's really, you know, it's we're using as many, many different, what we might say, spiritual weapons
in the
battle for souls at OSU. So
that is really lovely. Thank you, Lord. That is great. Oh, my gosh.
So.
Well, and I noticed even watching the keynotes from the Focus Conference, I know for myself just the nature of my work, and I have this great, you know, privilege and opportunity to go to daily Mass while I'm at work. And it's so easy to think, oh, I'm doing everything right. I'm doing everything right. I know the Lord. I know the Lord. But what those two keynotes did was they broke into my heart to remind me, like, I am just a desperate and lost person. And in every moment I need Jesus Christ and I don't want to forget his love and I don't want to take advantage of it and I don't want to ignore it. So it was a message. I think the beauty of conferences like that, that are kind of evangelization focused and can dial their message back to somebody at the beginning of their faith journey. I forget that every day I'm on the beginning of my faith journey.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a really lovely They were really great talks.
We start new. I mean, of course, our theme today is living our baptism, which I think, you know, we're going to have Father Tom Blau with us here in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. He is in the studio already. Father,
hello.
Good to have you. Good to have you.
I wanted to jump in a dozen times.
The floor is yours. 45 minutes, whatever you wanted to say.
But before we speak to Father, a little traffic and weather and a little history today, too.
That sounds good.
So for our traffic and weather is brought to you this week by the 14 Holy Helpers, especially St. Christopher today, whose feast is July the 25th. And I might add that the Second Vatican Council did not get rid of St. Christopher. He is still a saint on the list.
That has been a question in my head for the last minute.
He is the patron against the bubonic plague and dangers while traveling. And we need St. Christopher's help today in this rainy, sprinkly weather today.
Yeah.
It's currently 46 degrees, and there are lots of accidents out there. One on 315, which I think, Jenna, you got stuck in.
Yeah, I was slow moving on 315 this morning.
And there's a couple on 70 and 670. So just be careful out there and take care. And remember, as always, to drive safely. And if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, represent us well.
Amen.
Today is January the 10th. This day in history, in 236 AD, Pope Fabian, Saint Fabian, rose to become Pope of Rome, the Bishop of Rome. And this day in 1607, Isaac Jogues was born. Saint Isaac Jogues, the North American martyr. And in this day in 1984, the Holy See and the United States formally established diplomatic relations. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
1984.
And then also today, there were several popes who have died. So.
Oh, pray for us.
St. Mildiads, Agatho, and Gregory the 10th. So it's not a, this is not a good day if you're a pope.
All that to say, pray for Pope Francis.
Yes, yes.
Keep him in your prayers. Do you know, I was at an event last night with Bishop Brennan. He spoke at Theology on Tap, and someone asked him about his time with the Pope. He was just recently over there, I think December it was. And someone asked specifically what the Pope's intentions were, you know, like what could we pray for? And Bishop Brennan said, he wants you to pray for him. He knows he needs it. So, yeah it was really, it was good to hear that. And so if you are stuck in traffic and you have a few minutes, and then, you know, at the next break, if you have a minute, instead of getting frustrated, maybe say a Hail Mary for Pope Francis.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, as we said, Father Blau is with us this morning. Good morning, Father Blau.
Good morning, Father Adam.
How are you?
Good morning, Jenna.
How are you, and how is your new year?
I'm doing great. Things are wonderful, and the new year kind of snuck in. You know, it's like, wait a second, it's the 10th already. Where'd that last
time
week go?
Flying.
You know?
I
it's
know.
Flying. It really is flying. Yeah.
So, Father, you are a Dominican.
I am, yes.
Tell us about that.
The Dominicans are the common name, Dominican, named after St. Dominic the Founder. We're called the Order of Preachers, so the letters after our name would be OP, Order of Preachers. So we try to work on preaching in all of its forms, whether homilies or teaching or arts or music, anything to get the word of God across to people. I'm from in the United States, we have four provinces. And so I'm from the Eastern Province, St. Joseph Province in the East, the Atlantic coast, to the old Northern states, really. And we're doing okay. God is blessing us. We have some tremendous men in formation right now.
That's great.
Wonderful. And of course, we have a special affinity for the Dominicans in this diocese, and especially the province of St. Joseph.
Yes.
What's our connection to the Dominicans here in Columbus?
Bishop Fenwick was sent from somewhere to out into the middle of the Ohio Territory, which was Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, and that was his diocese. And at one time, there were five priests in that whole area, five Dominicans. And so here, this diocese was founded by Fenwick, and the Dominicans have been a presence here since the beginning.
Good old St. Joseph in Somerset.
St. Joseph's first Mass in Ohio.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How
if
wonderful.
You're looking for a day trip, go to Somerset.
Yes. A lot of good Dominicans still out there.
Yeah.
Good. That's very good.
Now, where are you from originally, Father?
Originally from Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
So
are
I'm
you?
A fan of Cleveland sports.
God bless you.
Yeah, it's not always heaven, you know. That's West Virginia.
Yeah.
Okay, so, it's like,
That's why they don't have any pro sports teams.
Yeah.
That's how they can stay heavenly.
No suffering.
But, love it up on the North Coast. All my family's up there. They're on the Atlantic Coast, my family. So,
how did you discover your vocation to the Dominican?
I graduated from high school wanting to be an example of a virtuous, extremely wealthy person. That was my goal. Extremely wealthy. And went to Akron University, got a degree there, and at one time had a slew of jobs. And at one time, Tom Monahan was sending young men down to Honduras and Guatemala to help out with a priest friend. So I thought, hey, it'll look good on a resume. I went down there and I'd studied Spanish. And we went to help a priest. And as my Spanish improved, he allowed me to go and do communion services and give a little fervorino of a homily. And so I came to love the work of the homily and seeing how a little bit of the gospel can set someone's life on fire.
Yeah.
And so I came back and went to Franciscan U And among all those Franciscans there, Father Tezzi, Father Augustine, yeah. Father Mike Scanlon, I met Father Giles Dimmock. Mm. And I got the Dimmock stare, you know. And he put it in perfect, the pitch was good. A fraternity for the sake of a mission. Mm. And so I soon entered in, went to Washington for a slew of years, and got a bunch of degrees and stuff, and ordained in 99.
Ah,
so, wow.
Yeah. Excellent.
God be praised.
So it was it was good. It was a good time of formation. At the time, sure. I was very glad to leave the House of Formation.
Yeah.
Now, it seems like you've been around Columbus a little longer than most Dominicans have been.
I have, and let's only say that with a whisper. Okay. Don't say that too loudly. Okay?
We're glad to have you.
Dominicans normally move about every 3 years if you're in a pastoral situation.
Sure.
But my work here has morphed over the years. I came in as an associate pastor in 2010 after two stints as in campus ministry. And then quickly after that, it moved over into campus minister at Ohio Dominican University. Mm-hmm. Loved the campus ministry there. And after that, the bishop, Bishop Campbell, asked me to be the bishop's preacher and to do parish missions in the diocese, mm-hmm. to focus on this diocese.
Yeah.
And so I'm still doing that, about, I think we're coming up on 80, 85 parish missions just in this diocese.
Wow.
And then it's recently morphed again into the St. Barnabas ministry. And that's where
tell us about that.
A Dominican.
Yeah.
Currently it's me. Okay. I'm walking out quickly like, okay, it looks dangerous. You go first. But it's where we go to one of our diocesan priest brothers and say, get away. I got your parish.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you need to do to rejuvenate.
Oh, Father, that is so necessary. You know? Yeah. Wow.
Retreats, vacation, doesn't matter. Instead of, I, from what I gather, you've got to call up 10 guys to take care of your 10 responsibilities. Well, this is one-stop shopping. You have a Dominican come in. I'll do everything except your administrative duties.
Sure. You're not hiring, you're not firing.
I'm not going to hire on to like paint the inside of your church while you're gone, you know. I'll leave your weddings to yourself. Okay? But the rest of it, we'll take care of it. We'll maintain it in a good way.
Yeah.
So it's itinerant preaching for
gift.
Us.
Yeah.
And it allows you guys to get some rest.
Yeah. And, you know, it's especially for those guys outside of 270.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to find coverage. And, you know, it's there. And there's, a lot of reasons why guys might be going, you know, they need to resharpen the tools, you know, and with continuing education or, you know, to go on a sabbatical or something like that. Maybe they need to go on retreat, mm-hmm. you know. Things like that.
A lot,
so.
What I don't think a lot of parishioners know is a lot of your priests are not getting away.
Yeah.
And they're not doing their canonical retreats, which means you're going to start seeing wear and tear and what eventually becomes burnout.
Yeah.
And that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great gift.
Yeah. It's a wonderful ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're so blessed to have you in this diocese.
It's a blast. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great joy.
It is.
Well, wonderful. Shall we go to a break?
Yeah, there will be more with Father Thomas Blau, Father Adam Streitenberger, and myself, Jenna Zins, shortly after this break. Stay tuned.
When Pope John Paul II landed in Washington, D.C. and was greeted by then-President Reagan, the president said, "Welcome to the land of the free." And John Paul II said, "Free, yes, but free for what? Free for what?" It seems today that we define freedom as the ability to do whatever you want. Of course, doing whatever we feel like doing in the moral realm doesn't necessarily lead to freedom, but often leads to vice. Vice. That's the perfect word for it. It's a destructive habit that grabs us kind of like a vice grip and doesn't let us go very easily. Don't believe me? Think of your favorite sin. Now try to stop. Genesis 4:7 says, "Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and become its master." You see, freedom isn't the ability to do whatever we want. It's the power to do what's right. And ultimately, true freedom is the power to love. That's the kind of freedom Jesus Christ modeled for us in his life and in his death. And it's the kind of freedom he's inviting us to live in today. I'm Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
I went to church and just sat there and listened. I really didn't absorb anything. I think I just found myself believing that I didn't need God. I just had everything under control, and church was actually a burden to me. I had this sin that I carried in my heart for a long time, and I told myself for many, many years that the Lord wouldn't forgive me for this. When Father in the confessional says, your sins are forgiven, there truly is a feeling of weight lifted off. I don't care if it's two or three little sins that you're carrying, there's a feeling of I can breathe deeply again. I feel pure inside, and I'm ready to come to Mass. You can have a beautiful car, a big fancy home. If you don't have Christ in your life, there's an emptiness that's there. When you come home to the church, you're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. My name is Jenna Zins. I am substitute hosting for Katie Wyatt, who is praying and getting holy somewhere, I think.
Yeah, out in the jungle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we are happy to be joined in studio by Father Thomas Blau.
Hello.
We're so excited to have you. Thank you, Father, for making time this morning. We want to get everybody back up to speed, those of you who are driving and listening. So, Father Adam, can you help us out?
Sure. Again, our weather and traffic is brought to you this week by the 14 Holy Helpers. It's currently 46 degrees. We're probably going to get into the higher 50s today.
I'm okay with it.
It's going to be overcast and scattered showers throughout most of the day. There are lots of traffic incidents out there, but there seems to be a big one on I-70 between 315 and Front. So be careful out there. And as always, remember to drive safely, and if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, represent us well.
Yes, and pray for those who are involved in any of these incidents and first responders as well.
Well, Katie, this is usually...
Who's that now?
Oh, excuse me. Jen. Whoa. You look so much
old
like Katie.
Old habits die hard, yeah.
I'm glad you caught that.
it's me, so yeah, I did. Sorry for the confusion, everybody. Again,
that.
This is Jenna. I'm substitute hosting.
Anyway,
Father is used to just chatting with Katie Wyatt, and she's not here. So.
Yeah. And I think I hardly refer to her by her first name, too.
It's what? I've listened a lot. I think that's pretty accurate. I can change my name. It's fine.
In this segment, we'll go through the Catechism Minute. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Great. Well, our theme today is living our baptism, mainly because, of course, we're celebrating the baptism of the Lord this Sunday. So I thought it might be appropriate to read about the baptism of the Lord from the Catechism. So paragraph 535, of course, in this section of the Catechism, it goes through all of the mysteries of Christ's life, so all of those events. In particular, we hear about the baptism. Jesus' public life begins with his baptism by John in the Jordan. John preaches a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Then Jesus appears. The Baptist hesitates, but Jesus insists and receives baptism. Then the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove comes upon Jesus, and a voice from the heaven proclaims, "This is my beloved Son." This is the manifestation, the epiphany, of Jesus as Messiah of Israel and Son of God. So we remember that the baptism of the Lord is the beginning of his public ministry, and is really this sort of theophany, this epiphany, this revelation of his divinity. The Father speaks, and the Holy Spirit makes himself known in the appearance of a dove. So,
well, and I think it's important for us to reference the Catechism. For those of you listening who might not have this massive, somewhat intimidating text at your house, I do something, and it's called read the Catechism in a year, and little by little, sections will be emailed to you. So each day, you can just kind of digest a little bit of Catholic teaching without feeling overwhelmed about picking up a book and having to, be super prepared for that.
Yeah, so. I've seen a couple different kind of breakdowns of the Catechism. We were talking a little bit earlier, and he mentioned, The Journey Home, Marcus Grodi.
Grodi has a pamphlet, and he's got the Catechism in a year broken down according to paragraph numbers.
Yeah. That's pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
I've seen, there's one reading plan that's out there that has both the Bible and the Catechism, and it splits them up so that you could read them in an entire year, Wow. Or I think it's 6 months, a year, and then 2 years or something like that. So they give you some options.
Yeah, that's great. So, well, and I'm great. Yeah, I'm just grateful that you share from the catechism each week. That's
well, you know, and I was telling Father this, but it, you know, it's part of my own conversion story was
Is
reading
it really?
The catechism. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So it's a significant book in my life. So.
Wow. Do you know what I wanted to say was nerd alert?
Nerd alert. Yeah, yeah. It's true. It's true.
That's, God can use anything.
Yeah, he can. Yeah.
Well, I think we forget.
He even converts nerds, too, you know.
Go figure.
He loves nerds.
That is so great.
There's hope for all. It's we believe that God desires the salvation of all.
Amen. So. Well, and I think part of our responsibility to live out, you know, our baptismal call is to really understand the truths of the teaching of the church, to be able to explain them to others and invite people into the great joy of knowing the freedom of making right choices and, you know, knowing our history as, you know, those who are beloved by God. And please pick up the catechism if you can or have it emailed to you if that's easier.
Today's January the 10th. Our saint of the day is St. William, St. William the Cistercian Abbot. He was also the Archbishop of Bourges in France, and he's somewhat connected to the Dominicans. He dies in 1209, but he went to preach to the Albigensians.
Oh,
just like Dominic. Yeah, just like Dominic.
You looked skeptical at first, Father. Yeah. Wow.
How am I going to make this connection? How am I going to make this?
Father Adam, it's your show, but what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, you're right. I remember that from some long distant memory. Yeah.
Now, I have a little bit of a story of St. William.
Oh.
Now, unfortunately, I don't think it's this St. William, but.
You know what? Let's hear it anyway.
When I was first assigned to Portsmouth at St. Mary's, I was kind of surprised that there were no relics in the church.
Yeah.
You know, like there weren't any relics. The parish didn't have any relics. You know, there were probably some in the altar stone.
Sure.
But, you know, there weren't, you know, most parishes have, you know, a reliquary here or there. So I asked the Lord for relics, you know, and I wrote to the bishop if he had any spare relics lying around. And of course, he didn't reply no reply is a no answer, you know, it's a negative answer. So I was praying about it. And then one day I was going through this library in the that the parish had, and on the side of one of the bookshelves, and I had gone through this library dozens of times before, and one day I'm going, and taped to the side of one of the walls is a reliquary.
Wow.
With the relics of St. William.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like, and I had passed that same exact point a dozen times. And it's just out of nowhere.
Wow.
There was this relic of St. William.
That's a God wink.
Yeah.
Amen.
All of you
listening in Portsmouth, ask for St. William's intercession.
Yeah. The relic's up on the high altar at St. Mary's.
Oh, that's really wonderful.
Yeah. So our gospel of the day today is, we'll read it. It's short enough. Of course, as you know, in this time between or after the Epiphany, we really read from the beginning of Christ's public ministry. Mm-hmm. It happened that there was a man full of leprosy in one of the towns where Jesus was. And when he saw Jesus, he fell prostrate, pleaded with him, and said, "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do will it, be made clean." And the leprosy left him immediately. Then he ordered him not to tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them. The report about him spread all the more, and great crowds assembled to listen to him and to be cured of their ailments. But he would withdraw to a deserted place to pray. You know, I think what strikes me, especially in connection to that theme, is this man with leprosy desires to be clean and to be healed.
Yeah.
And I don't think we hit this enough, but the primary work of Christ's healing is baptism, is the forgiveness of our sins, this cleansing that happens. Mm-hmm. So maybe especially if we've lived this life for a while and have fallen in and out of sin and rely upon the sacrament of confession so often, we forget that first great miracle of healing, which was our baptism.
Yeah. So. Well, especially, I think so many of us are infants when it happens in our lives. So there's no recollection. Yeah. And you just, again, you read the catechism, you try to get the information you can, but as a lived experience, it's outside of our own memory.
Yeah. And it's, you know, just like with the new year, you know, it's good that every 365 or 66 days we have a new year to kind of start over. And in the same way.
And four times a year we have new seasons. I mean, there's,
In the same way, we need this renewal of our baptism, not a new baptism, not a rebaptism, but in the sense of being reminded of it and recommitting to it. And that is part of the power of the sacrament of confession.
Mm-hmm. It's the beauty of having infants baptized, baptisms around our parishes. It gives us a chance to renew our own baptismal vows when they're receiving theirs for the first time.
The renewal of baptismal promises is so crucial. You know, that part of Lent is that is that we're preparing ourselves to renew our baptismal promises at Easter.
Yeah. So if you are just joining us, we are celebrating the Friday morning show here today on January 10th. My name is Jenna Zins. I am substitute hosting for Katie Wyatt, and I am co-hosting with Father Adam Streitenberger.
Yes.
Wonderful. And we are so privileged and honored to be sitting across from Father Thomas Blau, a
pleasure
Dominican priest who does, what we hear now, Barnabas ministry and
so I've got
preaching
a few,
around the diocese at St. Patrick.
Helping out St. Patrick's whenever I can, preaching around the diocese. I have a whole bunch of parish missions out there. And then doing St. Barnabas ministry, where we take over a parish to let one of our diocesan brethren do whatever he has to do. And for us, it's itinerant preaching, and we love that.
That's so good.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Well, we're happy that you are here, Father Blau, and you've heard us talk a little bit about the theme for the day, which is just kind of living out our baptism as we approach the baptism of the Lord. So let's hear from you.
In the way of I've always done it, especially like in RCIA, there's a question to ask even before, why is baptism important? It's, why is there sacraments?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have sacraments?
Yeah, you know, go back,
especially
even further.
For any parents with little, if you have some little Catholics around running around, here's one way that I recommend to teach it is you ask them to think of their favorite friend. Who's your best friend and what can you do with a best friend? And little kids will talk about talking and playing and having lunch or breakfast together and solving projects together. And that's what a best friend is. You can do things like that. And invariably, there's a plant somewhere. There's none in this office here, but there's a plant somewhere. And I say, can you be a friend with that plant?
Mm.
So if you do have a plant that talks to you and solves problems with you and can join in like that, I'm not qualified to deal with that. Call Father Adam if you have plants that talk to you, okay? Because that's weird.
He's got
people.
St. William on his side.
That
he
is
can't
absolutely
anything.
Freaky stuff, and I don't deal with that at all, okay? Plants can't raise up to be friends with humans. You need human nature to be a friend. Same with a hamster or a squirrel. They really can't be our friends. They don't have what it takes to live out friendship with humans.
Yeah.
Well, if we can't be friends with those things, and we share some stuff with them, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We need sleep. We need food. We need oxygen. We need sunlight. We need water. If we can't be friends with them, then how can we be friends with an omnipotent spiritual being called God?
Mm.
God, completely other than us. The whole universe fits under his smallest fingernail.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just reduced God by an infinite amount by saying that. So how can we be friends with him? Our nature needs to be raised up to be able to share on the divine level, or we will not have friendship with him. And so why sacraments? Because they give us this thing, this participation in the divine nature. That's why we have sacraments.
Yeah.
It's part of the original preaching of the church that Jesus came, and this is what the sacraments... The,
and it's his method, too, isn't it? I mean, in the sense of the incarnation, God has taken on flesh.
Yeah.
And in that sense, I guess I've never thought of it this way, but it is really fitting that we celebrate the baptism of the Lord in the midst, at the end of Christmas season, to connect the sacraments to the incarnation.
Absolutely.
So when you read, and everyone, if you've got your catechism, take it, highlight it, somehow make lasers come out. Catechism number 460 says, the Word became flesh too, and think of all the things we could fit in there. It actually goes in to do that. But it says, the Word became flesh to make us partakers of the divine nature, quoting 2 Peter 1. For this is why the Word became man. That's the incarnation. That's the baby in the manger. And the Son of God became the Son of Man. So that man, mankind, by entering in communion with the Word and thus receiving divine sonship, might become a Son of God to relate to God the Father in the Son. For the Son of God became man so that we might become, as it were, God. God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature. And so that's why sacraments is so we get this thing called grace, which is God's power, and it's the life of God poured in us in order to help us be able to relate on a divine level. So that's why sacraments. So the importance of baptism, to get to more to our point, the importance of baptism is it starts that whole thing. It's an incredible sacrament. It's where the person begins to live out their relationship, their friendship with God.
Yeah.
And they're able to relate to a divine person, a spiritual person, by virtue of grace, which begins in baptism. That's why it's such a fantastic sacrament. St. John Paul II said, celebrate your baptismal day every day for the rest of your life. That on that day, you got to have cake, because the Lord began working and living in you.
I was
recently in Vaudovice, where John Paul II grew up, in the parish church. And there's this picture of him visiting the parish church and kneeling before the baptismal font there.
How beautiful.
As this sort of reminder. And
yeah.
There's always the story, too, of Saint Louis of France, the King of France. He once said that, you know, I was baptized in this little chapel, you know, in some castle somewhere, you know, simple little chapel. But, you know, he was crowned in one of these glorious Gothic cathedrals. He never went back to that Gothic cathedral, but every year he would go back to that little chapel where he was baptized.
Oh, that's great.
And pray. And that's the idea of remembering our baptismal anniversary. And
celebrating that day for your children as they grow up, have their favorite meal, have it. If you can get a baptismal candle that's large enough, have it burning at some part during dinner to remind you of that awesome moment.
And it's easy to find your baptismal date as well. So if you're listening and you're thinking, well, how the heck would I know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can call your church of baptism and they'll have a record. So if you can recall, or if anybody in your family can remember the church where you were baptized, you call and you ask them to look it up. And the church is very vigilant about record keeping, for those of you who don't know.
Yes.
And it's so far beyond digital record keeping. I mean, we go like... things are written down. It has to be super clear in a very specific way. It's kept in a safe because the sacraments are that important.
They're that important.
The memory of that is that important.
In order to put people in an awkward spot, Father, when is your baptismal anniversary?
November 22nd.
Mine's November 23rd.
Wow!
Yeah!
Oh my
goodness!
Hey!
From 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., we should have a party.
Yeah!
There it is. That's you're all awesome. Invited if you're listening.
Now, Jenna, when is yours?
March 11th.
Hey!
Woo-hoo.
Yeah,
woo-hoo.
I know mine.
Good.
I didn't for years, and I think I heard something similar, Father, that you're suggesting to celebrate your baptism years ago, and I looked it up, and I was like, okay. Every year now, I'm really excited.
And because our church is so rich, every sacrament day.
Amen.
Celebrate your first confession day. What a great day of running into God's mercy.
Yeah.
Celebrate your first Eucharist day. Okay.
Yeah.
Celebrate, of course, your anniversary. And gentlemen, remember that. But celebrate all that stuff when God touches us in a unique way with his grace through the sacraments.
Yeah.
And Father, it's been a great moment for me this morning to realize how much our faith is head and heart. And you travel a lot, Father Adam. I know you've been all over. What I've noticed the Holy Spirit doing in the work of the church and the message that the church is giving, at least here in America, is this message of relationship. I think for a long time, that was either glossed over or people were really focusing on different aspects of the faith. But what we're revisiting now, just with idea of sacraments and baptism, is that the Lord wants to know us. The Lord wants to be in a deep friendship with us. He wants us to come to him. Do you know what I mean? Well, so it's a great gift.
So in the with grace received in baptism, to get back to that, so we begin to think with his mind, faith. Mm-hmm. We begin to love with his love, which poured into us through grace called charity. We begin to hope for a life with God and our brothers and sisters, divine theological virtue of hope. And so it is a relationship. It's friendship.
Yeah.
The basic understanding of Christianity is God wants to extend something that's it's friendship, and it's even deeper than that.
And at the baptism of Christ, he reveals to us that he is a member of this divine family, not the Holy Family, but the Trinity itself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in our baptism, we are incorporated into that family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are drawn into that divine life, as Father said earlier. We become sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father.
And the more
adoption.
You give yourselves over through the sacraments throughout your life, the more you become to relate to God, and you get to know him and our brothers and sisters through God's eyes and God's love. The word that the church uses is divinization.
Yeah.
We're not becoming gods, but we're coming to share in the divinity of Christ in the same way that he shares in our humanity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think also to broaden that family too is the sense, the real relationship we have with our brothers and sisters in the church.
Yes.
And that our life and the way that we live our life and the way that we live our baptism also affects them.
Makes a difference.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In the communion of saints, if someone brings grace and glory to the church by an awesome life of a disciple, we are all lifted up. That's the power of the communion of saints.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I worked for a parish for about 6 years, and I did baptism preparation while I was there. And it's really difficult, I think, to communicate this message to people. So, you know, those of you listening, if you've had a hard time, you know, kind of twisting somebody's arm to get their child baptized, you know, or if you've walked this journey with people who might not understand it, just don't be afraid to say that God is choosing your child to know and love your child. It's
you
so
can
far
love
beyond just checking a box
being.
Or doing something right. Yeah.
I tell them in the baptismal ceremony, I throw it in there in the homily that on the day of our baptism, God gives us, it's like for you that know computers, a computer program has megabytes and gigabytes. God gives us 1,000 megabytes of terabytes. Terabytes are like go from here to the moon if you had them on CDs, okay?
I'm trying so hard to understand.
Yeah. It is a huge program.
God
and so,
saves nerds.
God saves nerds. There it is. So he gives us this massive, huge program called Friendship with God, and he gives it to that youngster. And the responsibilities for the rest of us is to help them access the program.
Yeah.
You know, it's a giant. It'll grow for the rest of their life. And we have to just help that youngster access the program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, Father, what's your response, you know, in the pastoral situation? Some parents will want to delay their children's baptism or even, you know, in some cases, not even have their children baptized.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions about how do you keep your child free? How do you allow them to choose what they want to choose? Yeah.
So it's very common. I know very close some people who say, I want them to choose. So I'm not going to get them baptized because I want them to choose.
Yeah.
And I brought up to them, it was one couple who had that, and I brought up to them saying, that's very magnanimous. You know, it looks magnanimous of you. So Now, with dental hygiene, you're going to let them choose, right? Like, are you going to teach them how to brush their teeth? Right. Or are you going to let them choose? And they said,
If they come across floss one day.
Yeah. And it's like, no, they're going to do it. And I said, how about good eating? You're just going to let them choose, right? No. How about going to school? No. How about when they get to sleep? No. There's all these things where they're not going to let them choose. How about favorite flavor of ice cream? Oh, we're going to let them choose.
Yeah.
How about favorite song? We'll let them choose. And so I told them, I said, it's not magnanimous. It's fake. Mm. You have just decided that religion and the relation with God is on the level of favorite ice cream and favorite song.
Wow. Father, that's so important to take it all the way there.
Yeah. The important things in life, brushing your teeth, hygiene, how you dress, if you go to school or not, mm-hmm. you're not going to let them choose. You're going to force it. So you've just put religion on the level of the total subjective. So stop acting like you're going to let them be free to choose.
Mm-hmm.
After 18 years of not having any faith in the life, do you really think they're going to go and choose a religious life?
Right, right.
And I would also add, too, that just because we have objectively been baptized doesn't mean that down the road, subjectively, we don't have to accept that gift for ourselves.
It doesn't force anybody.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So I don't buy the whole question of, oh, we're going to let them choose for themselves. Mm-hmm. No, you're not. You're fooling yourself. You've already chosen for them.
Yeah. And how can I help you see how important baptism is and how great God is?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
If you're tuning in to us today, this is the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. Katie is not here. She's out in the jungle, but Jenna Zinn's with us and Father Tom Blau. But at this point, we're going to take a break.
All right.
And Father will join us again after the break.
All right. Stay tuned.
Catholic Community News from St. Gabriel Radio, AM 820.
Dublin St. Bridget of Kildare School, 7179 Avery Road, will have an open house from 3 until 5 p.m. Sunday, January 12th. The event will include tours of the two-time National Blue Ribbon School with representatives from all its academic activities and related programs available to answer questions. For more information, visit the website stbridgetofkildare.com.
On January 18th at 7 p.m. at the St. Brendan School Cafeteria in Hilliard, Knights of Columbus Council 11208 will present a free showing of the movie Unplanned. For more information, call 614-822-0954. The annual World Marriage Day Dance will take place on February 8th at 6:40 p.m. at the American Legion Post 171 in Westerville, Ohio. It's presented by Central Ohio Worldwide Marriage Encounter. Tickets are $74 per couple, advanced ticket sales only. For more information, call 614-761-9048. For St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, I'm Chip Stalter.
This is a Young Catholic Minute.
Why is contraception wrong?
In sex, the husband and wife give themselves to each other fully, freely, faithfully, and fruitfully, which is the kind of love that everyone longs for. No one says, "I hope my wife cheats on me," or "I want my soulmate to hide things from me." So why is "I love you, but not your fertility" okay? Christ showed us true love by giving his whole life freely, without reservation, never abandoning us, even if it meant dying on a cross. This sacrifice gave us eternal life. If you've been listening, you might get where we're going. Sex is only loving when it's a free, total, faithful, and fruitful gift of self like Christ's love. In fact, in every Catholic marriage ceremony, the bride and groom vow to love each other in this very way. So you decide. Do you want your marriage to reflect God's love? Or would you rather settle for something less? For more Young Catholic Minutes, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. Hunching over our phones and computers isn't good for our shoulders, neck, and back. We can even begin to develop poor posture, accompanied by pain and injury, from too much time spent bending forward. My favorite reminder to adjust our posture is this: heart up to heaven, as this sets our bodies in a healthier, more open position that makes us more approachable to others. When we lift our hearts up to heaven, this is also a great time for a God pause, to stop and give thanks with a short prayer, such as, "Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you, save souls," or, "Mary, pray for us." So let's take a break from our technology to reset our physical and spiritual posture with our hearts lifted up to heaven, praising God for his loving care in our daily lives.
Good morning and welcome back. You are listening to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. I am substitute hosting for Katie Wyatt, who is out of the country, I believe. Yeah. My name's Jenna Zins. I work for the Office of Development and Planning for the Diocese of Columbus. And I am co-hosting with Father Adam Streitenberger, and we've got a great guest this morning. We've been having so much fun talking about nerdy things and non-nerdy things. Saints that do exist, for sure. Yes. It's been an exciting morning. So, Father, just before the break, we were talking about baptism and the importance of baptism and how we can choose that for our own family members, for the infants in our family. And then also, you know, a lot of adults come into the church and are baptized, you know, at any and all age. So
the beauty of RCIA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When they come in and make that decision, and in confirmation, where someone who said yes to the Lord through proxies when they were just a little bambino, and then they make it their own in confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
I love that whole way of looking at it.
Yeah. And as we said earlier, is, you know, at all times throughout the year and almost every day, we're renewing the commitment to our baptism,
that's right.
You know, and saying yes to it. This, the subjective acceptance of what has objectively happened at our baptism, we're doing that every day.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's great. There are some effects of baptism, some distinct effects, which shows you why, if you go to a good Catholic college, university, or seminary, they'll spend an entire semester on baptism. And so you can have a week at a time studying one effect. And some of those effects, I've got them written here in my trusty little catechism in the thing. And they line up in my head, that whole thing of God saves nerds, they line up in my head according to the acronym BAPTISM.
Okay. Oh, that's super convenient.
Each letter brings out one of the effects. And so, what I'll do is I'll list it and then list the paragraph in the catechism where that effect comes from.
For all of you nerds listening and taking copious notes.
Yeah. Yes. And if not, I am Father Thomas at St. Patrick's. You buzz me and I'll send it an email to you.
Oh, I love that. Hey. That's great. Yeah.
Send something there and with me in the subject line and they'll route it to me wherever I am.
Wonderful.
And so baptism, what does it do? Paragraph 683 says we are born to the spiritual life. We're born to being a spiritual person in baptism. We begin that whole life in God's spirit, growing in spirituality. All the virtues are given. Okay, we know that the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity are given. That helps us relate to God.
Mm-hmm.
But also the infused moral virtues, prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude, oriented towards our spiritual life.
Yeah.
That's paragraph 1266. We know that P in baptism, the plentitude of grace, the plentitude of grace, fullness, grace overflowing, says paragraph 1266, is given in baptism. Baptism takes away our sins, especially original sin, paragraph 405. And it also, it transfers us into his kingdom. We become members of the kingdom of Jesus by our baptism. The I, going after the ism in baptism, we are incorporated into the body of the church. Christ is the head, we are his body. 1267 says that. Incorporated into his body, made members of the body of Christ. What an awesome thing.
Yeah.
It means we have all those friendships with people that are praying for us, people around the world, people who would give their life for us immediately upon baptism.
Mm.
S, our soul is sealed with an indelible mark, says 1272. If you think about a signet ring, old kings had a ring and they would take that and press it into wax. You can think of our soul being pressed, and it's the word mine, or even more, the image of Jesus being pressed upon us. That happens in baptism. The last letter, M.
Yeah.
Man dies to sin to live for God. Romans 6 brings this out. Man dies to sin to live for God.
Mm.
So the life of sin, we died in baptism to a life of sin, to a life of slavery to sin. We died to that in baptism. Lastly, as paragraph 2009 says, It makes us children by adoption. This mm-hmm. is the most one of the most amazing things. We really are sons and daughters of God
yes.
because of our baptism. We can call God Father, and we have full access to Him, only to grow greater as we go throughout our life. So baptism, it is an amazing sacrament. It's a day of joy. It is one of those things we should ponder what has come upon us in our baptism.
Excellent. Thank you, Father. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. And as I hear that, I just want everyone and myself to be reminded, this is why we stay on fire as Christians, and this is why we evangelize. Because just listening to that, the richness, the greatest heights and depths you can reach in just being alive only comes from relationship with our Lord.
It does.
And that comes through the sacraments, starting with baptism.
It is good news.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Excellent. Well, thank you again, Father,
yes,
for joining
you, Father.
Us.
This
My
was a
pleasure.
Great morning.
Real joy.
Blessings on your celebration of the baptism of the Lord.
Thank you very much.
And on November 22nd, your celebration of your own baptism.
And if you hear any of that in a homily, now you know where it comes from.
Yeah.
That also gives me the opportunity to sell the catechesis from the cathedral, which starts this Sunday,
it.
And we're covering the sacraments, the sacrament section of the catechism. So.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
6:45 on Sunday at the cathedral. So, and it'll also be aired on St. Gabriel Radio,
Fantastic.
Too. But we'd love to have you on, at the live version of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so if your head is longing for a little bit more information and your heart is longing for a little bit more conversion, this is a great opportunity for you. That's
so
the cathedral.
I think it'll be next Wednesday at 4 o'clock, St. Gabriel Radio will have the first session.
Good to know.
First session
yeah,
of it.
That's great.
So next week, Jenna, is the Millennial Church Conference at St. Matthew's.
That's right.
You're going to be there.
I think I
got
an
RSVP from you. And I will be there as well. So basically, it's a conference hosted by ID916 and several other groups, Alpha America. There's a few other different organizations that are part of it. But it's to really address the concerns of millennials, so those born between 1980 and 1996 in our church, and how, as the church, we can address their needs and help them to grow in Christ. So
that's great. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah,
and I know
I am
two
too.
Of the presenters, so I'm pretty pumped up.
Oh, awesome, awesome.
Yeah,
so that conference starts on Friday at 8:30 with Mass at St. Matthew's, and then 9 o'clock. So unfortunately, I will not be here next week.
What will the show do, Father?
I don't
know.
Well, you know, Katie will be back from the jungle.
Okay, good.
We hope, you know, she'll finally have blazed a trail back into civilization. But there will be a guest co-host with
Really?
Katie. Yeah.
And who might that be? Do we know?
Bishop Robert Brennan.
Whoa!
Will be our guest co-host.
Live and in studio.
Live and in studio.
Friday, January 17th.
Yeah.
So keep your dial tuned to AM 820 for the next week. Don't move it.
If you hear a thick Long Island accent next
Make
week.
Make no mistake.
It's not that I have a cold. It's actually Bishop Brennan himself.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
How wonderful.
Yeah. And while I'm gone, I think the theme is going to be millennials in the church, young adults in the church.
Yeah.
Father Chris Yackel, who's recently ordained, he's the parochial vicar in Perry County.
Mm-hmm. And a priest for the Archdiocese.
Yeah, he'll be
military.
Going into the military chaplaincy after 3 years or so.
Father Chris Yackel and I served with Net Ministries together.
Whoa!
Yeah, so I have a long history with him. He's a wonderful man, a great priest. He's wonderful.
Yeah, he is.
Good
he's
heart.
A great
Priestly
guy.
Priestly heart, yeah.
And I think they're also going to have someone from YCP with them, young Catholic professional.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, young Catholic professionals. Yeah.
The bishop loves all of the energy and all of the things that the Holy Spirit is doing within the young church in this diocese. So I think that'll be a great show, and this conference will be a great lead-in into some of the ways he wants to fulfill his mission as a father.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a powerful show. I'm sorry I'm going to miss it. I'll have to go to the archives and listen to it. So. Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Well, good. Shall we end with a prayer?
That sounds good. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this morning on the Friday Morning Show. Have a blessed Friday.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. And for my guest co-host, Jenna, this is Father Adam saying, take care. Until the next time, peace and all good.
This is listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820 on WVSG Columbus.